When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And hockey fans, are you ready to brave the wild with me, your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Awajin? Brave the Wild is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podman, Spotify, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Audible, Podbean, Stitcher, Double Twist. Yeah, it's a little bit over the top. I thought I was back to saying your favorite podcasting app, but I guess I jumped into that one, so we'll leave that where that is. It is, I just want to thank every one of you for downloading and listening to the show. It is a great pleasure to be back on board with you once again today. Kind of a mostly cloudy type of day as I start this show. And it's kind of like mostly cloudy going into the playoffs. Not about knowing who we're not going to play or who we're going to play. We are going to play the St. Louis Blues. Will we have home ice advantage? What's going to happen in the series? It's two excellent teams and the unfairness of the whole playoff seeding situation. People frustrated with that. Some people say it is what it is. Even Bill Guerin said, hey, it is what it is. You know, let's just play. That's what Bill Guerin says. So, okay, I understand that point of view big time. I mean, you're going to have to beat them at some point or beat somebody similar. So it kind of is what it is. People like Russo were hoping for the one through eight to come back someday. I can hear that argument as well. That way things are seeded a little bit more accordingly. This and that, you don't end up playing the number three seed when you're the number two seed, basically, which is, or in this case, third and fourth with Minnesota, because Calgary would be number two. So that's kind of how things are shaping up. All the teams that were going to make the playoffs have, so the playoffs are all set, generally speaking, in terms of who will be in the playoffs at the end of the day. This is going to be a fan interaction-centric show, no question about that. Not sure if the seedings are 100% in stone yet, but they should be, generally speaking. Yeah, like Florida's going to be number one, no question. Colorado's going to be number one. We all know that. Carolina, Toronto are only a point apart. Tampa's not going to catch either one of those. So they'll be playing the team that isn't as, you know, yeah, we'll get back to that. We'll worry about that later. Western Conference, I would say, is pretty much set. Minnesota and St. Louis, of course. Calgary could be playing Dallas or Nashville, so that's another thing that's kind of floating out there. Edmonton, LA are kind of on top of each other. That's kind of a home ice advantage situation between those two as well. Los Angeles probably is not going to get it. Edmonton's probably going to have home ice with 100 points this year. Edmonton, 100 points. So all the mean things we said about Edmonton during the course of the season and such, well, I mean, they made their coaching change. The attitude has improved, not because the coach was bad necessarily, but the guys probably needed a little fire lit under them, and they started playing better. And all that, even the goaltending improved significantly, despite the fact both of the goaltenders are pretty average. Las Vegas misses the playoffs for the first time in franchise history. What do you think of that? Las Vegas out. Las Vegas is out of the playoffs thanks to a 67-point Chicago Blackhawks team going into OT and the shootout and blah, blah, blah. And they finally said, like, had 19 players, like, shoot in the shootout, did Vegas. None of them scored. None of them. And a lot of them, it's constantly guys trying to be cute. Okay, so I'll make this move. Now I'll make this little extra move, and you're out of space, and it's all over. Stupid! Shoot the puck, man. Shoot the puck. Make a move and shoot the puck. I don't get a lot of that. Johansson of the Nashville Predators made about 950 moves while he was gliding about a half a mile an hour and got away with that crap with Minnesota. Some bush league garbage, but, well, whatever. I'm trying to be over that one. We don't play them in the first round, so that's long gone. There was talk about actually playing them in the first round a few weeks back. Obviously, that changed. It's pretty much been Minnesota-St. Louis locked in forever. St. Louis, has one more game played than Minnesota, and we're tied at 109. Minnesota couldn't beat the frickin' Arizona frickin' Coyotes. Yeah, and Jack-ass McBain was one of the goal scorers in the game. I saw it happen, and it's like, seriously, man? Obviously, I saw it happen. I hope I did, right? And it's like, ugh, jeez, really? But that's the trap game of trap games. And Greenway returned in that one as well, so at least we have him back. But I don't know, Marc-Andre Fleury struggling a bit as well. I better get on with things here. Sorry, but I'd like to do a playoff preview show, but the seeding could change at the last second. I don't want to mess it up. That's happened before to me. Minnesota, St. Louis, I mean, it's who's going to have home ice, blah, blah, blah. Minnesota, I hope Minnesota can get it. Unfortunately, if we're tied, though, St. Louis does have it. They have the tiebreaker. And understandably, one way or another, I can't imagine why they'd have the tiebreaker, right? But yeah, I guess it's the win total deal, which I guess. That is confusing. Minnesota's got 51 wins, but let's just get where we need to be. I'm not going to review the games in as much detail as the previous weeks because I think we got a lot of fan interaction to do. And it's one of those days where I got to go in a tiny bit early. Stupid, dumb meetings. You know, yes, okay. They didn't hear that, I hope. But 2-6-3 wins versus Vancouver and Seattle versus the Northwestern United States and, well, Southwestern Canada in Vancouver. Yes, Isha Jaromi's club. He doesn't care about us, damn it. He hates us because he likes Vancouver more. Well, it is what it is. He grew up with Vancouver. I know. I'm just teasing. It is kind of ironic how all that kind of comes to place. People that do shows and that's not even their main team, but it is kind of funny. But they do a good job on the soda pod when they talk hockey. let's see. Kevin Fiala, a couple of goals. Awesome week. Ryan Hartman drank some coffee, had a goal and an assist. Obviously, it was a fun, entertaining game against Bruce. There it is. Fiala's kind of wraparound-ish type of goal. That was always fun. Kaprizov, a bit of a highlight play with Zuccarello. That was really sweet, to be quite fair. Just love it. I'd love to see what those guys can do with the top line. Continues to dominate, and Fiala continues to be one of the best. This will be the last time you'll see Cam Talbot play, and it wasn't that great of a game, giving up 3 goals. And not every goal was the best thing you ever saw. But it just kind of is what it is. I don't know. But yeah, we won't see Talbot until maybe Calgary, Colorado. You're going to have to see him in one of those games. And then maybe we'll see the old Dwayne Rolston and Manny Fernandez switcheroo in the playoffs. We'll see. But I'm thinking that could be the direction. Can you believe this? Seattle went up 2-0 in the game versus Minnesota. I understand it's a back-to-back, but 2-0 Seattle? 2-0 Seattle. A team that has more familiar names than, say, Minnesota and, you know, whoever. Minnesota and Columbus did years ago. I mean, it was literally like, who is this guy? You know, that was literally who it was at first, for the most part. Like, most of the well-known names or semi-known names that were picking in the expansion draft or whatever ended up getting traded away for other prospects. So, like Joe Juneau, I still remember him. He was traded for Ricard Wallin. How do I remember that? I just do. Yeah. Ricard Wallin, yeah, who looked promising for about a week or two, and then that was it. Kind of like certain like crushes you may have had back in the day, or the way they treated you. I thought about it. I thought about dating you, and that's it. Thanks. Screw you. That's what I want to say in that situation, and that's what those NHL careers were like for certain guys. And that's what this game was like for Seattle. They thought about winning the game, but they just didn't. Minnesota ended up going crazy. Lots of fun there. Was it 6 goals in a row? That was awesome. Yep. To think they went up 2-0 in the game. Minnesota went up to 6-2. Joel Eriksson Ek, obviously wonderful week. Multi-goal game here. Good chemistry. And it was fun to see. It's just fun to see Kaprizov, Fiala, and Joel Eriksson Ek on the power play. That's cool. That's cool to watch. And Fiala continues to rack up the assists. I mean, we're getting assist records all over this team. So much for any assists in the past. I mean, it's getting crushed by like 3 players. 3 players are going to pass the all-time assist record before this season. Of course, their names will be Kirill Kaprizov, Matt Zuccarello, and Kevin Fiala. Kirill Kaprizov now has 105 points, by the way, with 60 assists. So good luck catching that. So much for Matt Zuccarello holding the all-time season record for assists. Kirill Kaprizov with 60. Goals, 45, all-time record, 105 points, all-time record, plus minus 25, blah, blah, blah. And then he does this really well, and he does that really well, and he turned 25, too, this past week. So happy birthday to Kirill Kaprizov. Kevin Fiala is a fellow Leo, July 22nd. He'll turn 26. Aw, man. Oh, well. 84 points. Yep, he also passed Marion Gaborik in the second all-time leading scorer in a single season. Poor guy, he would have beaten it, but, well, yeah, 105 points by Kirill Kaprizov prevented that from happening, didn't it? Matt Zuccarello may actually catch it. Ryan Hartman with 34 goals. I mean, you could just go on and on. What a wonderful season it is. Joel Eriksson Ek with 26. Again, multi-point week, two multi-point games this week. Love what Joel Eriksson Ek has brought to this team. Obviously, the frustrating, tenacious defense. Just a tough guy to play against. And love how durable he's been, knock on wood, being able to come back from what looked like something extremely bad. And the Wild have been absolutely blessed with a lot of that this season. Matt Boldy with almost 40 points in only 45 games. Again, that's another guy that had a fairly serious injury early in the season, and then like another injury, you know, injured the other ankle a little bit, missed some time. But imagine what kind of year he could have had as a rookie. He might have had 65 points or more. 70. Might have had 70 points. Calder, anyone? Calder. Yeah, maybe. I mean, there's at least a chance of that. 70-point season, that's a pretty damn good rookie player. At 20, not 25, not 24, not 23, 20. So, future's bright for Minnesota in a lot of ways, especially when you have Matt Boldy. A guy like Matt Boldy, and again, that's another player that could have been included. Just part of the trade for Jack Eichel, who's done wonderful for the Vegas Golden Knights and all that. That really helped that team wonderfully. Trading away assets and good fits for the roster, assets that could have been that could have helped kind of reload the team. But now they might end up having to rebuild, but they're going to probably attempt to reload first. They missed the playoffs for the first time in franchise history. Crazy. It's crazy, eh? You know, I'm babbling way too much, but, well, it's fun to talk about a lot of these things, and fan direction will rule the roost today, and at least I better let it allow, I better allow that to happen. It's just, you look at these amazing numbers, and you're blown away, and it's exciting. You just hope it doesn't all go up in smoke in a series versus the St. Louis Blues, but I do think that series goes 6 or 7. I am concerned with how Marc-Andre Fleury's been playing. I am. I'm concerned with how Marc-Andre Fleury has been in the net. He's been giving up a lot of goals. What was it, the last 7 games? He's given up 3.5 goals, and his save percentage is around 86. Kind of scary, don't you think? A save percentage of 84 versus Nashville. Yeah, we won the game, and we peppered David Riddick, who was very mediocre for Calgary forever. One of those kind of semi, sort of, like, goalies of the future. Maybe he was the Kaapo Kähkönen of the Calgary Flames for the longest time. Yeah, so you figured you're going to beat him at some point when you keep peppering him. The Wild peppered him with 47 shots in the game. 47, so the Wild end up surviving and beating Nashville in Nashville. A very impressive win. It'll have us keep pace with St. Louis and continue to just play phenomenal hockey, despite, you know, again, Fleury not being the best, and despite play in front of him not being the best either. We got to remember that part. That's quite true. Joel Eriksson Ek played wonderfully, and I could imagine Joel Eriksson Ek being the most valuable player in a series versus Nashville. He seems, you know, he just feels like a good fit for that matchup. A team that's just kind of a chippy team to play against. Obviously very talented, and again, a bit on the chippy side. In a lot of ways, they're kind of like they're almost like an arch rival for us in a lot of ways. Like, they kind of remind me of Vancouver years ago in a way. Maybe I'm just a total idiot. Some of you might be rolling your eyes, but there is definitely a lot of chippiness between these two teams. I've said that about 3 times now. Yeah, and it's interesting, too. Obviously, Luke Cunningham's there now. Interestingly, of all places, he wound up there. Kevin Fiala came from there. Mikhail Granlund. Kevin Fiala, of course, having a big goal late in the game to kind of get things, to get the Wild ahead 4-3. He enjoyed that very much, skating by the Nashville bench. Who knows what he said. Probably a little bit of something there, I suppose. 33rd goal of the year. Nashville would tie it up with less than 6 minutes remaining in the game, much to our chagrin. Next thing you know, Dmitry Kulikov was able to finish literally like a walk-off win for Minnesota, just barely, with Nashville. Wonderful feed from Joel Eriksson Ek, who did a little bit of everything on that one. Kirill Kaprizov won up with a second assist, but Joel Eriksson Ek worked his ass off the whole night and set up Dmitry Kulikov perfectly to time it just right for Kulikov to release that shot and win the game versus the Preds. Made us all feel like $1 billion. And then the game that made us feel like 2 cents made us feel like the dollar since 1913, if you do a little research on that, since a certain thing called the Federal Reserve was created. The value of the dollar's dropped like a bajillion percent. What is it, like 98%, 99%? That's all. It's like a cent, 2 cents compared to what a dollar was back in 1913, thanks to the Federal Reserve. Yeah, just printing money out of thin air. That makes sense. I thought McBain scored earlier. I guess it was an assist. Yeah, when he had a point earlier. That was an assist, so I apologize. And I do remember mentioning that. It was his first NHL point. Minnesota ends up losing the game against a couple of the familiar names and, you know, some of the ancient history, like Louis Erickson. Phil Kessel's pretty up there. Nick Schmaltz. Schmaltz's alt was actually one of the guys that helped wrap this thing up. When Kevin Fiala looked like he was going to get some kind of a scoring chance, he stripped Kevin Fiala, who had no points in this game and was a -2, but a lot of Wild players were kind of like that, unfortunately, in this game. 5-3 loss, by the way. He stripped Schmaltz's alt, as I like to call him, stripped Kevin Fiala, wound up feeding Phil Kessel, who got the empty netter to wrap it up, unfortunately. Old hot dog guy himself. Looks more like he's from Chicago than from anywhere around here, but that's just how I look at him. He looks like Ron Coomer, doesn't he? He looks like a Ron Coomer kind of guy for older Twins fans. Getting back to the mid-90s, early 2000s, and here I go babbling on and on. But in overall, meh, kind of a night. Marc-Andre Fleury was meh again. Again, 4 goals again. Save percentage of 84. Looks familiar. Four, exactly the same, basically, as the Nashville game. Love the goalie pads. Love the helmet. Love the helmet. But the shin pads and all that. Love the helmet. But, I don't know. The play has not been all that great. Cam Talbot was like almost invincible since about a week or two before the trade, because obviously he knew. And here we are kind of frustrated, wondering what the hell, you know. So hopefully Marc-Andre Fleury can get things together here pretty soon. And, well, we'll see. We'll see. There's no decision made about who will start game one. But don't be surprised if it's Talbot. Don't be surprised if it's Marc-Andre Fleury. Maybe it should be Talbot and see how things go. And they should have a right to switch the goalies up any time. It's not like, okay, he's the starter. The other guy, nope. He only goes in if absolutely necessary. That's it. Or if we need to we have to. Like, season's on the line, you know. We're down 3-1, you know. Hopefully it doesn't come to something crazy like that. But Greenway returned as I shift gears slightly. Was able to get an assist in the game. We're happy for him. And it's nice to have him back. Foligno, of course, returned as well during the course of this week and was returned in this game. Actually, this was his first game back, Foligno and Greenway. Really nice to have them back in the mix. Goal and an assist for Foligno. And of course, I'd given up and released Foligno on the fantasy team, as I am losing in the final right now. Maybe things will change. Still could. Of course, I'd given up and released him because it looked like he wasn't going to come back in time to really be a factor. And then he has a pretty good game, at least statistically, for fantasy. But the Wild ended up losing 5-3 with the empty netter and all that good stuff. So with that said, the Mike Modano Award winner for this week, I want to give it to Joel Eriksson Ek. I think he was fantastic. Retroactive to say, because I remember he was definitely Player of the Week and definitely deserved it on Minnesota Wild Global and all that, and he absolutely deserved it. It was like a dominant week and all that. But didn't have a good game versus the Arizona Coyotes, and Joel Eriksson Ek did, so I think it pushes him slightly past. Definitely strong honorable mention for Fiala. Player of the month is Fiala, easily. Not even close for the month of April, if I do a player of the month deal, and I probably should in the future. It's Fiala with a bullet there. But for this week, I'm going to give a slight edge to Joel Eriksson Ek. I thought he played absolutely wonderful, continuing to play the tenacious defense, setting other players up as well, and scoring some big goals. And keeping the Wild in this game as well. It looked like the Wild were going to get beaten handily by this team, which is really embarrassing. But helped the Wild kind of get things back in order for a little bit there before things completely unraveled down the stretch. The James Shepherd Memorial, I think it's Marc-Andre Fleury. And I hate doing it, but I think it's Marc-Andre Fleury. I think the play in front of him has not been good either. You're getting sloppy, playing a little too open. But some of the goals given up are just like, you know, you got to make those stops, which we've said in the past about other goalies. So that's just be honest here and give it to Marc-Andre Fleury at this stage. With that, we'll take a quick break, going to look around a little bit very briefly, and then, of course, fan interaction again will dominate the show. It's going to be a big third segment. We are back on Brave the Wild. This will be a bit of a preview segment. Of course, it's not going to be heavy, hardcore preview, but it'll be some. Two games remaining in the regular season, and then we will play the St. Louis Blues. I hope opening up an XL Energy Center. I hope the Minnesota Wild can end their drought of not winning series where they have home ice advantage, which I still, to this day, don't understand what the devil is going on with that. Calgary Flames 50-20-10, first place in the Pacific Division, and I do believe a Stanley Cup contender, legitimately. Sean Monahan with a hip as of April the 2nd. Tyler Parsons, I don't know what's going on there. Okay, yeah, he's not one of the main goalies, so I don't know why his name is even listed. I don't know why they do that. The Wild still have significant injuries, of course. Mats Zuccarello, from what I know, they're not overly concerned. Foligno has returned. They're still listing him there. And Jared Spurgeon, talk is that it's better than they thought, and that Dumbo will also return here in the final two games at some point. So God willing, the Wild will have players on the ice, you know, that we're missing, that will be ready to rock and roll again, which is great. Calgary 6th in goals, 2nd in goals against Jacob Markstrom, baby. man, this series is just, it's a good thing we're not playing the Calgary Flames in the playoffs, because if we do, boy, woo, well, we've gotten bigger since we last played them, so we'll see how this game goes. I guess it is what it is. 8th on the power play is Calgary to Minnesota's 19th. Penalty kill was 6th for the Calgary Flames. 6th in the league in penalty kill, 27th for Minnesota. Terrible penalty kill. Penalty minutes, 22nd for Calgary. They get in the box quite a bit. Minnesota is one of the worst with 30th, and blah-bitty-blah. I actually wanted to play this clip for the Arizona game when I was talking about it. This was funny, but it's something I could use forever and ever from Gene Evason.
Hey, listen, our whole game sucked tonight. We got what we deserve.
Pretty telling and pretty fitting, and that was pretty much the Arizona game. So thought I'd throw that in there and, you know, I don't know, maybe made you chuckle a little bit, and that's kind of the idea. I don't like these. I don't like playing the Flames. Obviously, it's been a tough series. I enjoy playing them in terms of I'm a fan of Calgary. I like the Flames. Obviously, they're a wonderful team. 4-1 in their last five. They beat Chicago 5-2, lost to Nashville 3-2, beat Dallas 4-2, beat Vancouver 6-3, beat the Nashville Preds 5-4. Sorry if I'm moving too fast. I'm probably driving you crazy. Calgary 7-3 demolition in the Saddle Dome, and then a 5-1 typical Devin Dubnyk's in net type of game not too long ago. That's what it felt like. Devin Dubnyk or who was that other guy? Darcy Kemper. Yeah, that guy. 5-1. I can still see Bruce Boudreau's face when the Wild were playing well, and then we played Calgary. And we got beat 5-1. And I remember on one of the goals, Bruce Boudreau looked up at the monitor and then his jaw just dropped. It was the funniest thing I ever saw. Just that, oh, I wish I could show it to you, but it was hilarious. I loved it. I don't think the Wild win this game. And if we do, good for us. It'd be wonderful. I don't know. We might end up with 109 points. We just might. I don't think we're going to tank and say, oh, what the hell. I think we'd love to play at home, but at the same time, we're not going to go out there and just say, you know, we're going to break our backs to win this game and have guys like injured and worn out and such going into the postseason. You obviously don't want to go through the motions either, because if you do, that's another way to get injured. So you got to find some kind of friendly medium here going in. Hopefully Spurgeon's able to return for one of these two, maybe this one. Otherwise, maybe Spurgy, as Bill likes to call him, will be out until the actual St. Louis playoffs. But it sounds like he's going to be okay. It's not as scary as it looked. But his upper body situation, the Dumba situation, actually, that could drag, because they were talking about how it's the motion of his shot and just his shot in general. Not good. And, of course, that's pretty much Dumba's game, the Dumb Bomb, as they call it. And if that's not working, well, Yeah, you're kind of screwed. So you're kind of screwed. Which again shows that he's a little more one-dimensional in my opinion. Great personality, leadership skills, but I think Fiala's got leadership skills too. I think Fiala's got leadership skills. I think he showed it this year more than he did in the past. In the just even a year ago, you probably would have said, nah. Where now it's like, yeah, I think there's leadership skills. So I don't think if you had, you know, choosing Fiala over Dumba is like blasphemy in the Minnesota Wild locker room. I really don't. I think it's business, folks. Business is business. Minnesota will, I just don't have confidence in this matchup. I just don't. At least not right now. Maybe in the playoffs, if the Wild can break through a couple of glass ceilings before they get there, the confidence starts flowing. Maybe we could beat Calgary in a 6 or 7 game Western Conference final. But until that day comes, I don't see the Wild beating Calgary right now. I think the Flames pull out the brooms and defeat the Wild. Final score of 4-2, something along the lines. Most likely guy to score in the game will be is going to be Charlie Coyle. No, I'm kidding. That's what it was in the past for some reason. He'd have some decent games against the Flames. Or Wes Walls, of course, because he's from that area. I'm going to go with Ryan Hartman. Seems like a Ryan Hartman kind of game. Colorado Avalanche wrap up the season, generally speaking, with the Avs in XL Energy Center, which is nice. All these games will be in the X. Pavel Francouz, upper body injury. Mikko Rantanen, illness as of 4:20. Okay, I'm just kidding. Yep, Colorado's 4th in goals, 7th in goals against, 6th best power play, 17th best penalty kill, and 16th in the penalty minute category. Colorado won 4-1 in the season opener for us. Well, season opener featuring us anyway. They defeated us in the shootout the next game, and the Wild won 3-2 in a nice overtime victory much more recently. And then we wrap up the season series. Colorado's not been playing well. They're 1-4 in their last 5. Their only win was against St. Louis, of all teams. Remember that. And that helped the Wild keep pace with St. Louis despite losing to the frickin' Arizona Coyotes. Would have put us in position to possibly have home ice, just to seal it up here. But I don't know. It is what it is. Colorado lost 3-2 to Washington, 3-2 to Seattle, 6-3 to Edmonton. Whew! And a 4-1 loss in Winnipeg. Ouch. All right. Wild, obviously, nice winning streak until it's stupid Arizona game. I think the Wild win the season finale. Maybe it's going to be a back and forth type of thing, but I predict like a 5-3 type of win, and somebody, it's going to be kind of an oddball score, I think, for Minnesota down the stretch. I should have looked more at some of the other guys though on Calgary real quick. Just super fast, super duper fast. Just want to, man, it's just when you look at these numbers, Johnny Gaudreau with 113 points. What an amazing season. I never saw Johnny Gaudreau as that kind of player. I saw him as like a 90 to 95, which is freaking awesome. Freaking awesome. But 113? Jiminy Christmas, man. He's like Mark Recchi out there. Okay, there I go, making weird comparisons, but numbers-wise at least. Matthew Tkachuk, again, physical type of guy with 102 and 41 goals, 61 assists. Doesn't mess around with anybody or anything. Only 68 PIMs, actually. He's been good about staying on penalty minutes. I hate saying that. Mangiapane with 455. Lindholm is awesome. Love him. 81. Sean Monahan. What a terrible season. Oh, 23 points in 65 games. Woo! I bet Calgary fans, if they thought of Sean Monahan as an 80-point-plus guy, was going to have 23 points in 65 games, they'd be like, boy, we're going to suck. We're going to suck this year. We're going to be in the bottom. Nope. So, sorry. I had to look at that. Otherwise, Mikko Rantanen's leading the Avalanche in scoring. They've had injuries all year to, like, big players like Nathan MacKinnon. He's got 88 points, though, in 64 games. That's unbelievable. He'd be in the hundreds. Kale McCarr is as good as it gets. 85 points in 76 games. And that's a defenseman, by the way. He's either the best or the second-best defenseman in the league with him and Roman Josi. Kadri, 85 points. I don't feel too bad because that's who I got to replace Foligno, so I should just shut up about that. It's Kadri. Hello. Somebody cut him for some reason. I have no idea why. Rantanen with 91 points. 91. Darcy Kuemper, will he be the undoing of Colorado, or will he be like Adam Hauser and step up when it matters most, despite having an up-and-down career with the Gophers many years ago? Gopher fans would remember who Adam Hauser is and how he stepped up during that NCAA tournament in the final game. The Gophers clinched a championship in his final game as a goalie for the Gophers, as a senior, of course. 5 shutouts for Darcy Kemper. Colorado should be a cup contender, of course. We'll see what happens, though. Anything can happen. They've been upset several times in the postseason the past couple of years, and they also had a huge upset over Calgary a couple of years back when Grubauer first got there. So it's going to be interesting. A 5-3 win for Minnesota. Might be some oddball scores in the game for the Minnesota Wild. I'd like to believe it's possible. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think Boldy's going to score as long as he plays. I think Boldy scores. I think somebody like, I can see like, yeah, just oddballs like Brendan Duhaime, people like that. Frédéric Gaudreau, yeah, he'd been on such a run. He's actually quieted down, which is kind of funny and strange. At the same time, Bukestad, it's going to be the oddball type of guys in this game. I can just, or Greenway even. I'm going to pick the most likely guy to score in the game to be Matt Boldy. So he's not that much of an oddball. He's just not at the top of the list necessarily, but he will be soon. He's going to be a top 3 player on the team very soon, the way he's going. Top 3 forward at the very least. But Minnesota wins 5-3 and finishes with 111 points. You'll see a 1-1-1 for Minnesota at the end of the day. With that, we'll take a quick break. Come back for, we'll look at fan interaction, but ultimately a tiny, tiny quick look at the prospects as well. As per usual, we'll open up with the Iowa Wild here quick. Sorry for the weirdness of this show, but yep, it is what it is. Iowa Wild season is over. They just finished. Woo-hoo. 52 points for Mason Shaw, 53 for Kyle Rau and Marco Rossi leading the way overall. But as me and Derek talked extensively off the mic, so to speak, during the course of the week, and late last week especially, Marco Rossi's not been really... Obviously, there's been frustration with him from him. About not being in the NHL at all this year and all that. Well, just for like a tiny little stint. And, you know, he's just not been happy, of course, how the Minnesota Wild have been, you know, they've been not bringing him up and all that. And Bill Guerin and then me and Derek agree as well that he needs to kind of mature a bit, needs to kind of be used to playing in North America or in a professional level anyway. He did play in North America for the juniors. And he is only 19 years of age. So it's like there's no huge rush here. He had a pretty damn good season. It's just down the stretch, he was kind of going through the motions, and that didn't help Iowa's chances of making the playoffs, where guys like Mason Shaw, Kyle Rau, Mitchell Cheffy, and of course, and then Nick Sweeney down the stretch had a great, great final week here. He was actually the prospect of the week with MNW prospects or Young Guns. Obviously, wonderful, wonderful time there. Good job. One of 38 points, had a spectacular start to the season, but ended up slowing down the stretch, which is a bit frustrating for some of us. But again, finished strong, so good for him. Rossi did not finish strong, despite being one of the leading scorers on the team with Kyle Rau. But you see a lot better effort from Rau and Mason Shaw. Mason Shaw's 23, so he's a little bit older, showing a little more heart out there, and good for him, obviously. Me and Derek had a little conversation about, is he an NHL type of guy? I think he maybe could be, but we'll see. At least he plays with a grittiness that he could be in the NHL as a fourth liner or third liner, you know, bottom six. But maybe he just doesn't have it. Maybe that's just kind of more of a spot for Connor DeWeer, who obviously has been fantastic at the AHL levels even last year. So Connor DeWeer should make the NHL as a bottom six guy for many years to come. We shall see, though, ultimately. Kalen Addison's an ongoing debate. Will he see action in the postseason? I would not be surprised with the off-and-on injuries. Minnesota, we got Minnesota and Arizona in the background with the Wild up 1-0. That's funny. Yeah, but might as well have it on. Why not? But a disappointing season for Iowa. You know, kind of like... You could say kind of like Vegas, but not really. They just flat out missed the playoffs. Zane McIntyre, I think he might be the MVP for this team, honestly. Otherwise, it's Kyle Rau. Kyle Rau or Mason Shaw. Probably Kyle Rau, though, when it comes to the skaters. Otherwise, Zane McIntyre, what a nice midseason addition. 2.45 goals against average, save percentage of 92. 19-14 for his win-loss record. Wonderful job. Obviously, it's at the AHL level, and he's a veteran and blah, blah, blah. But he did a good job. He did a damn good job, so I respect him for that. Bryce Mizzley, I want to look at him very briefly here. It just didn't happen much in the AHL. Hopefully, he can get more going on in the future. He did have 3 goals in 18 games, but no assists at all. Whereas with the Iowa Heartlanders, the other Iowa club, where a couple of little kids do a podcast for them, it's kind of cool. What is it called? The Antlers or something? In 46 games, 11 goals, 19 assists for 30 points for Bryce Mizzley of the Iowa Heartlanders, who certainly got better during the course of the season. But Mizzley, my disappointing minus 29. I don't want to make fun of him at all. I like him. It's just a bummer at the end of the day. That one kind of bothers me a little bit. But some nice playoff performances by some of the other prospects and such in their respective postseasons in the juniors and such. I really appreciate what they're doing. Pavel Novak so far in 3 games, he has 1 goal. So that's nice. Good for him. We'll try to move quickly here if humanly possible. Ryan O'Rourke, obviously one of the defense that I really have high hopes for going forward. Kind of a bit of everything, intangibles type of guy with leadership skills. Wonderful postseason for him so far for the Sioux Greyhounds. It was the Kelowna Rockets, by the way, for Mr. Pavel Novak. 5 points, 5 total points for our friend. 5 total points for in just 3 games. One goal and 4 assists. So awesome performance so far for Ryan O'Rourke in the postseason there. Hopefully he can do that for Minnesota, a guy that can step up and really step up to the plate and perform at a high level when it's needed most. Damon Hunt of the Moose Jaw Warriors, no playoffs. Bummer. Wound up with 39 total points, 17 goals. Yep, and yeah, that was brought up to me as well, that his season's over already. So apologies for messing around too much with that one. Nate Benoit, Mr. Hopefully he can get a point a week type of guy. I had a pretty exciting little week here in the playoffs. 3 points in 2 games. All right. For the future University of North Dakota Fighting Hawk. Yes, Fighting Hawk. Yuck. He eclipsed his season total, at least with the Omaha Lancers, where he had 3 points in 20 games. With the Omaha Lancers, Tri-City Storm, he had 6 points in 39 games. But in the playoffs, a goal and 2 assists in 2 games. All right. Good job, Benoit. Nate Benoit putting up the points. Again, he's going to go to North Dakota. Yay. But hey, once he comes here, that's all that matters. It's okay. North Dakota's a hell of a program. I mean, there's no doubt about that. No doubt whatsoever. This is Josh Pillar, one of my favorites. 2 points in 4 games in the playoffs so far. Well, it's better than he was in the 17 games with only 6 points. Jeez, only 6 points for the Saskatoon Blades since the trade. And he wasn't playing as well for the Blazers either at the time. Not former teammate, Banker, we'll get to him in a moment. Kyle Masters is not the former teammate. 1 assist in 4 playoff games for the defenseman, the stay-at-home type defenseman. Red Deer Rebels. Kadian Bankier, still with the Kamloops Blazers, as we like to call him. He's got 5 points in 3 playoff games. Good job. 1 goal, 4 assists. Guy's moving that puck around nicely. Good for you. Jack Purd, obviously no, that's college. That was a while ago. Carson Lambos. Obviously, one of the top defensemen in the entire system. He's got 5 points in 4 games, all assists. But good for him. What an awesome regular season he had. 47 points in 51 games. And there was a stretch where he was out for a while, and there were some droughts mixed in. But generally speaking, Carson Lambos, really exciting. He's an overall kind of do-everything defenseman. So I cannot wait to see what he can do in the next couple of years here. Absolutely looking forward to his future, just like Jasper Wallstedt as well. Obviously, he's been incredible, and there's definitely a future there. Nothing going on with the playoffs, unfortunately. So that's kind of how that's going. Yeah, that one just kind of is stuck where it is. So with all of that said, that's the prospect conversation. Now we'll take a quick break and return for the big, fun fan interaction segment.
Thank you.
And we are back here on Brave the Wild. Here we go, fan interaction time. But guess what? I got to tease you now, unfortunately. I apologize. The Vigit app, V-I-G-I-T, V-I-G-I-T. It is an app for Android or Apple devices, of course. Get it out of your Play Store or App Store, whatever the heck you call it. It is basically fantasy betting at the end of the day. Fantasy betting. So you can use it as social media for sports bettors. You can post about your picks, see what others are saying about games. Vigit Betting League is a month-long betting competition to see who the best sports bettor is over the course of a month. Free-to-play sportsbook, bet free coins, win real prizes. Betting stats, there's great information on the Vigit Like Line movement where the public is betting. So again, it is not real money wagering. It is basically fantasy betting and a fun competition heading into the playoffs now. So always fun there with the Stanley Cup playoffs and NBA playoffs as well. Also, the crypto.com app, encourage you to get on board with that. Why not trade some cryptocurrency? I know some of you might be sick of hearing about crypto, but it's fun to do, and it's nothing too crazy at the end of the day. So it's just an enjoyable thing. There's not big fees, and again, nobody's guaranteed to win anything, and nobody's guaranteed to lose anything. So it's just basically kind of like trading, just like the stock market. The main difference is that you can do it anytime, and it's not complicated either. That's the other cool part. You can do it anytime, even on Christmas Day. You can trade in there, where the stock market's obviously shut down on holidays, and it's shut down overnight, it's shut down this, and it's shut down that. So it is what it is there. Let's get to the Twitter account. At Brave the Wild is a Twitter account. #BTWMN to keep things organized and ready to go for me as I do the show. If you want your comment read, that's the best way to do it. I read that one. Okay, and that was the most recent one. Want to thank all the people that retweeted and liked and such the recent release of the show. I need to mention the people that retweeted it. Yep, Let's Go Wild. Thank you very much. Brian Herrera, Tom Hayen, Derek Valska, thank you so much. And I know Vince Germano has retweeted it many, many times in the past, and I apologize if I haven't been mentioning that. So, Vince, just in case he's listening. He's more of a basketball fan than a hockey fan, but he's been very supportive of the show and been a great friend for many, 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 many years. So, God bless you, Vince. Derek Valska posted up an interesting one right here. Would you spend this kind of money to see the Arizona Coyotes play in a 5,000-seat arena? Can they really tout premium seats in an arena this size? Greg Wasinski. I hope I'm saying it correctly. I think so. Yeah, it's interesting numbers here. As I click on it, yeah, now we got a full screen look here. Glass seats, row A. Glass seats, $14,350 for the full season. Per game is $350. Center ice clubs, $98.40, and per game, not $240. Center ice premium, woohoo, premium baby, $71.75, and I don't mean $71.75, $7,000 because it's a full season, of course, duh. Per game, $175 for just one little game. What the hell? Yeah, and then the half season. See, that's the deal if you do the full season. See what I mean? So where the half season per game would be $220. Yeah, $445 for like the glass seats row, blah blah blah. So that's pretty crazy. The den, that's like the worst part, I guess. $3,600 for $49 and then $89 per game. Otherwise, $110 per game if you do the half season for $2,200. It's pretty wild. Yeah, but I don't need to read all of them. But I mean, it's pretty big money though for only 5,000 seats. The one good part is a 5,000 seat arena. You're not going to be that far away, so get the cheaper ones. You're not going to be that far away. I know some of you want your glass seats, and you got to, so you can go boom, boom, boom. I can't make the sound out without, yeah, you want to bang on the ice. Good for you. I'm so happy I can bang on the ice. Yeah, or bang on the glass for $14,350. Boy, I wish I could do that. I wish I could bang on the ice, bang on the glass. I'm messing it all up, sorry. I got a reply, positive reply from, oh yeah, yep, Let's Go Wild said, wait, you heard from me? What did I say? Listening now. And I said, oh yeah, you responded to the questions, and he says, nice. I thought I was just responding to a random tweet I saw. Thanks for the mention. Just listen to the podcast and love it. Keep up the great work, and thank you so much. Thank you so much. Pleasure to meet you. Looks like you got Kirill Kaprizov in the background there in your profile pic. Koivu retirement, how dare you? Just kidding. I better be careful. I better be careful. Derek Felska says, does last night's, yep, that was at Arizona. Last night's loss to Arizona put a few Minnesota Wild questions in your mind? Tag your questions, hashtag BGWMN, and ask as many as you wish. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Derek. Crease and assist at crease and assist. Derek says, are the Minnesota Wild too confident right now? Do they play too reckless a style to be successful in the playoffs? I think a little bit, yeah. I mean, the pretty play, it was a beautiful goal earlier this week with Kaprizov kind of dumping the puck off to Zuccarello. That was gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. But I don't know. I don't know if that's going to work in the playoffs. So be careful. It might work, but it might also create an odd man rush. So, yeah, I mean, be careful. I think the Timberwolves are kind of going through some of that similar stuff right now, obviously, with the Memphis Grizzlies, so which is drawing the ire of Timberwolves Explosion host somebody. I'm not sure who that guy is, but there's a host of Timberwolves Explosion. It's a decent basketball show if you want to check it out. What team besides perhaps the Minnesota Wild will choke in the postseason? Which one do you think is this year's NHL playoffs biggest pretender? Pretender. How dare you? Let's see if I can get back where I need to be here with the playoffs and all that. Okay, good. That was fast. Maybe Toronto, because they always choke in the playoffs. They always been choke in the playoffs. Calgary has choked quite a few times as well, but I don't think so. I don't think Calgary's going to choke this year, and if they do, I'm going to be pissed, actually. I think it's, until they prove otherwise, it's the Toronto Maple Leafs. They've got to get it done, Toronto. And if they play Tampa in the first round, which could possibly be a setup. See, this doesn't help. This freaking, damn it. Yeah, I don't like the way this is set up. It doesn't even show divisions. Stupid. I have to go to a different thing, I think, to really even get a real feel here of how things are going to set up. My deep apologies here. Division and this and that. Yep, Toronto, yeah, they're going to play the freaking Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round, which, I mean, they're going to play Tampa in the first round. And I'm sorry, but that doesn't bode well for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And that's too bad, because I'm not trying to be a jerk about it. I'd rather see Toronto win once in a while. Maybe Tampa will be the first team to three-peat since the New York Islanders 40 years ago, which it would be a 40-year anniversary, by the way, 1982. That was when they three-peated. Wouldn't that be something? But, yeah, Toronto and Tampa. You've got to go with Tampa right there. So I'd say Toronto is the most likely team to choke in the first round or whatever. It's just how I see it, and it's freaking unfortunate because it would have been nice otherwise. Eastern Conference, what do we have set up? Yeah, it's going to be Washington and the Florida Panthers. I think Florida should win that series at 5. I think Tampa can beat Toronto, so it'll be Tampa and Florida in the second round. Because Florida's got to win a playoff series, right? Isn't that crazy? They haven't won a playoff series since they had that miracle run back in 96, and Michael Russo reminds us about that from time to time. It's pretty wild. If Florida chokes, boy, that'd be colossal. It'd be bleeped up. So that would mean Carolina is going to be playing the Boston Bruins, which is a very tough matchup, actually. Very tough matchup. Carolina should win that, but I don't know, 5 or 6. And then they'd play the winner of Pittsburgh and the New York Rangers. Yeah, I mean, the Rangers have a nice team together right now. They should be the favorite, but Pittsburgh's got all that pedigree, so who knows. So I guess the East pretty much is all set. You can kind of guess where teams are going. So you could be looking at a Florida and Carolina East final, and I think a very strong possible Calgary and Colorado West final, with, I think, Calgary and Florida in the final. That's kind of my early preview right now. I think Calgary defeats the Colorado Avalanche or whoever else and goes to the final to play the Florida Panthers. I think the Panthers do go back to the Stanley Cup final finally. And will they be like the 89 Calgary Flames who win the President's Trophy and win it all? Or will Calgary be the team of destiny? So right now, I think Calgary is the team of destiny. But we'll see if Florida can ultimately be that team at the end of the day. I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to kind of go into some of it, a playoff preview. Derek actually just messaged me. I have an explanation of why things turned out the way they did for Iowa in my next post game on Friday night, Saturday morning. So, okay, good. I'm glad you sent that just now, because that can kind of let people know that something's coming. So, yeah, and look forward to that, everybody. So, there you go. That's a little That's a little promotion for at crease and assist right there. And I'm glad you posted that. Good idea. And I'm glad to help you out there. Give people a little appetizer for that. Let's get back to what Derek is saying on Twitter now, which we already were on, but now the hashtag BGWMN. Cool. What odds do you give the Minnesota Wild for having to fork over a first-round pick for Marc-Andre Fleury? Remember, the team has to reach the Western Conference Finals, and he has to have 4 postseason wins. Does his recent play make that more or less likely? It makes it less likely. I think the chances of the Wild getting to the West Finals when you have to get through Colorado, St. Louis and Colorado, I think are really tough. But if the Wild do get there, I think there's a glass ceiling. I think there's going to be an effect where it's like a stock. It gets through a glass ceiling and jumps up, or where the Wild could go all the way to the Cup Final. They could. How we've matched up with Florida has not been good, but we haven't matched up well with Calgary either. So it could happen. It's possible. I think the Wild could upset Colorado and defeat St. Louis first. I think the Wild can absolutely do that. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say it's going to happen yet. I'm just not overly confident in that happening at the moment. But we'll see. We'll see. I really hope the Wild go all the way. I hope the Wild win the Stanley Cup this year. I truly do. Derek again. And, of course, this is the Derek lightning round, and there's going to be the Tom Hayen lightning round. Because, let's call it what it is. This is a lightning round, right? It's okay, and I love lightning rounds. I love the questions, Derek. I love the questions, Tom Hayen. Lightning rounds are awesome. And this one's going to be an interesting one. Here's a funny one here. He was saying this one could hopefully get a chuckle out of me. It probably should. Former Wild third-round draft pick Jack McBain scored his first NHL goal against the Minnesota Wild after the Coyotes. He scored his first goal against the Wild after the Coyotes 5-3 win. He was given his team's wrestling belt. Where do you think the Coyotes went afterwards to celebrate? Dairy Queen or Chuck E. Cheese? I think Chuck E. Cheese. I think Chuck E. Cheese. I think they're... I love it. That's fun, though, because that brings back memories, too, for me. I think they went to play some pinball, some skee ball, and all that. And that's about it, though, when it comes to it. They went... I think they're playing some skee ball. The unfortunate part is there's not many retro games in a lot of those places. It's all modern stuff. It does nothing for me. And I did have a listener this week who apparently loves the show, but hates the chip tunes, as they call them. The retro video game music, and says, "For the love of God, get rid of it! You're killing me," and whatever. How is that killing you? Come on! I mean, it's part of the identity of the show. I mean, that's one of the things that actually brought Derek to the show. He was like, "Oh, I really like that. That's cool. You get to hear Mega Man, Ninja Gaiden, Turtles." That's like in Purple Mafia though. Turtles is in Purple Mafia. Timberwolves Explosion is like Mega Man 3. Magnet Man, Shadow Man, stuff like that. And some Turtle, Zelda even. A little bit of Zelda mixed in. Zelda 2 in that one. I think even occasionally DuckTales. Why not though? Is it that bad? Like, why is it so bad? So, again, it's usually about 25 seconds. You can just press the little 30-second fast forward button. All you'd miss out is me saying, "And we are back here on the third segment," So go ahead and do that if you hate it so much. Come on. I don't think there's anything wrong with that kind of music. I really don't. And I hate modern music, so I feel the same. Oftentimes I'll press the fast forward button or turn the volume off if humanly possible. So we're even there. I cannot stand the modern music like hip-hop or any of it. I can't take it. I can't. Or any of the pop. Derek says, "Kirill Kaprizov recently celebrated his 25th birthday, but wouldn't eat cake, saying he needed to stay skinny. If you were to give 97 a gift for his birthday, what would it be? What would you want on your birthday? What would I want on my birthday from 97? Ooh, well, I mean, most people would probably say money, right? What am I thinking? What would I give him for his birthday? Boy, I'd be kind of scared. I'd be scared. A hockey puck? No, I don't know. Honest to God, I'd be terrified. I'm not sure what I would give him. Maybe a retro Maybe a retro video game item of some sort to see if he'd be interested in it, like a plug and play Atari type of device, something like that, or even like that retro 77. I'd love to see him playing retro video games. Maybe he'd like it. It'd be something in that department, I think, or like a NES classic. Of course, those are harder to get, but yeah, maybe something like that, or like a Retron 77. Hey, Kirill, play some Atari. See what you think. maybe he'd love it. I don't know. He'd play some Pong, right? He could play Pong with Mats Zuccarillo. That would be really entertaining, actually. Really entertaining. What would I want on my birthday from 97? Oh, man. Oh, I don't know. From Kirill Kaprizov. A birthday present from Kirill Kaprizov? When you win the cup, visit me. Come with the Stanley Cup and visit me for like 5 to 10 minutes. Maybe get an autograph, shake my hand, that kind of thing. Wouldn't that be cool? Take a picture or two. That would be the ultimate birthday present, Kirill, if humanly possible. That would be unbelievable. Because trust me, I would have tears in my eyes seeing the Stanley Cup, and then obviously the best player in wild history and already coming to see me and holding that thing. Oh my God. But yeah, the odds of that are like one in a bajillion, aren't they? Derek Felska, again, as the lightning round continues, says the Iowa Wild playoff hopes are hanging on. Well, yeah, it's over now. If Iowa fails to make it, which they did, what do you think happens to the coaching staff? Will they keep Tim Army and company, or will they clean house? I think Tim Army should stay. I like him. I don't know. Are you frustrated with him at the end of the day? I like what Tim Army's done. At the same time, maybe I am out of place saying that, because Iowa has kind of underachieved, generally speaking. But I don't think it's his fault, really. I think some of the up and down, some of the players, the bad attitude and such has not been in the right place. But I don't know. Maybe I'm a total idiot and I don't know what I'm talking about, which is quite possible. I'm definitely no genius, no AHL genius, even though I keep up with it as much as I can. They have underachieved, no question about that. So I think maybe they give him one more year. That's my guess, and see where things go there. There's another one, interesting little playoff chart here. Derek Velska says, here are the Vegas Golden Knights' current playoff odds, which are now over. I'm not a betting man, but they don't look good. Should anyone shed a tear if the Golden Knights don't make it? Should it surprise us the league is allowing this to happen? Oh, Arizona and Anaheim. So what is exactly happening here? What exactly is happening? But obviously, yeah, they're not going to make it. And they did. They lost to Chicago and St. Louis. Arizona and Anaheim for Dallas's upcoming schedule. Dallas has to, obviously everybody's like, yep, Dallas was going to make it, and they did. So it's kind of, I see what you mean, how they're being, yeah, it looks a lot tougher on Vegas than Dallas, and it certainly does. It's pretty lopsided. But, you know, I am sad. I'd like to see Vegas make it, but maybe it was just due that they didn't, and we'll see. Obviously in hockey, draft picks don't turn you around too quickly, so even a higher pick isn't going to save their franchise right now, unless it ends up being a great pick that comes around in the next couple of years. But they're going to have to reload at the very least, though I'm sure they have plenty of cap issues like we do with all those expensive players on the roster in Vegas. So kind of is what it is. I feel a little bad. I like Vegas. You know, and this was shared by Sinbin as well. Yep, Derek shared Sinbin's post, posted by Sinbin, and I'm a follower of Vegas Sinbin and all them. They're very good. Very good. Hello! And that's kind of what this is today. This is kind of like my version of Twitter Space. Has the host call that always says, hello! And then there's Twitter Space and goalie interference and then, like, the general show. They do a good job. I'm not going to shed a tear for them, but it is a shame. I am sad. I'm disappointed that they didn't make it. I think it'd be better to have Vegas in the playoffs than... I couldn't care less about the Dallas Stars for obvious reasons. So, yeah, it's a bummer. And it doesn't surprise us the league is allowing that to happen, no. It doesn't. Brian Herrera says, with the playoffs a week away, which Wild player that doesn't sport any facial hair right now will grow the best playoff beard? I know this loss to the Yotes doesn't concern me. They were hungry to end their 10-game losing streak, and trap games happen from time to time. Yes, they do. No doubt about that. As for beards, who's going to have the best playoff beard? Jordy Benn. Okay, I'm just kidding. He already has one. I'm just teasing. I'm trying to think. Well, Cam Talbot obviously already has a beard. That's kind of a tough one sometimes. Matt Dumba. I can imagine Matt Dumba having a pretty cool one, actually. Because, yeah, usually he just has the goatee going. I can imagine him growing something and looking kind of cool down the stretch, looking at that big beard. For some reason, he's the one that's ringing a bell for me. Maybe I'm crazy. Obviously, Middleton's got the mustache. He might end up having an epic beard going into the playoffs as well, though. So it's between Middleton and Dumba for me, if that's okay. And now it's time for the Tom Hayen lightning round. Thank you, Brian. Obviously, love hearing from you. Tom Hayen says, when Mike Yeo gets shit-canned in Philly by Chuck Fletcher, will he be the only coach in history to have been fired by the same GM for two different teams? I think so. That sounds about right, doesn't it, at the end of the day? But I got a feeling that Chuck Fletcher might get shit-canned as well, though. It might be both of them getting shit-canned at the same time. I kind of have a feeling that's where things are headed, because it's as much Fletcher's fault as it's Yeo's fault. It just didn't work out. It's bottom line, it didn't work out. They should have kept Ron Hextall, pardon me. But maybe even in Philadelphia, they won't make that quick of a move on their GM. But isn't that like Philadelphia in general, Philadelphia sports in general? They're so damn impatient. They get pissed off and they fire Ron Hextall, who actually had things going in the right direction, just not immediately, exact, right now. Now. You know, it wasn't like an instant thing. And then they fire him. You find out the next year, whoa, this thing is pretty good. Oh, but yeah, Chuck Fletcher's the GM now. So yeah, he's turning that team around. No, he had nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing. 2-3 years later, what the hell's going on here in Philly? What's happening? Yeah, exactly. What's happening in Philly? So I think it's as much Fletcher as Mike Yeo, to be quite fair. Home ice advantage. Okay, Tom Hayen. Yep, Tom Hayen. Lightning round continues. Home ice advantage has been taking point of late amongst the players, media, and fans, etc. In the past 33 game sevens in the NHL, the home team has won 16 times. Where's the advantage? Amen. And look at the last several game sevens in the Stanley Cup Finals, right? Going back to the Pittsburgh Penguins. See, the year before, Detroit won, right? Detroit won the Cup in seven, if I remember correctly. It should have been, yeah, I believe it was seven both years. And then Pittsburgh won in Detroit the next year. Pittsburgh won Game 7. They were the first team in quite a while to win a Game 7 on the road in many, many, many years. Back in the day, teams just never lost Game 7 at home in a championship round, like the NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Finals, World Series. Obviously, Super Bowl is in a different place. It's all, you know, only at home. It's been at home twice now, and the home team is 2-0 the past couple years here, which is really funny. All those years. And then it happens 2 years in a row with Tampa and the Los Angeles Rams. That's freaking weird. Isn't that weird? And, of course, the Vikings, we just couldn't do it. Oh, no. That's Minnesota for you. But, yeah, the Pittsburgh Penguins won Game 7 in Detroit. And then the Boston Bruins won Game 7 in Vancouver. And then in baseball, the San Francisco Giants won Game 7 in Kansas City. And then it just kept happening. The Cleveland Cavaliers won Game 7 in Oracle Arena, in frickin' Warriors. I was so happy about that. I hate the Warriors with a passion. The Chicago Cubs won Game 7 of the World Series in Cleveland. It just keeps happening. And that's every sport, but in hockey, yeah, I mean, it's been a lot. The Cup Final. St. Louis won Game 7 in Boston, just like Boston won Game 7 in Vancouver. See, so it's stuff like that. It just continues to happen. Game 7s are not won at home in every round. I mean, the Minnesota Wild won. They won three Game 7s in a row. Obviously, first time around, it was two Game 7s on the, Colorado, Vancouver back in 2003, and then Colorado again many years later in 2014. It's crazy that it took that long, but It took us 11 years to win a playoff series. Wrap that around. Just let that sink in. It took us 11 years to win a playoff series. Jiminy Christmas. That's bull, isn't it? Isn't that bull? And it's been how many years since 2015 was the last time we won? Yeah, we beat St. Louis. That didn't go to Game 7. We actually closed it out in Game 6, like winning teams are supposed to do. And, yeah, you know, it's just crazy. So, where's the advantage? Nope, it's not the same anymore, Tom. Long story longer. I apologize for going on forever, but it's interesting. And it's a good conversation. Tom Hahn, with a roster that is finally littered with offensive skill, how in the name of Bjorn Salming, can the Minnesota Wild power play look like a disheveled toupee way too often? Yeah, it's ridiculous, isn't it? Isn't it stupid? Our power play sucked, and our goal scoring sucked. Yep, I love hearing from Evans, and that's it. It's true. That's very true. Yeah, it's by far the best offensive team of all time in Minnesota, and we had a really good one in 17, and then lost to the Fing Blues in the first round. We set all kinds of records that year, too. Best record of all time, most points, most goals by a player, and blah, 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 most total points, and it was just, well, it's tied with Gabrick, basically, are right there with him, and all kinds of other guys had career years, like Charlie Coyle, Eric Hall. No, that wasn't Eric Hall this year. That was here before, I believe. Charlie Coyle and Niederreiter and Mikhail Granlund, and you could go on all day. So all those obnoxious names that we're all tired of now. Sticking with special teams, how can the coaching staff, video gurus in the front office, not figure out a way for the penalty kill to elevate itself at least to the horseshit level? That's another good question. You got to think they could figure something out, especially against the St. Louis Blues. It's going to have to improve, because if the penalty kills anywhere where it's been, they're going to lose. They're going to lose to the Blues. We're going to be singing the Blues. And I don't want to lose, damn it. I want to win. So I stand in Colorado, we definitely lose. But, yeah, we'll continue. With Fiala emerging this season to give the organization a legitimate second dynamic game breaker, something the org has never had at any point, how far does it set the organization back if GM Bill Guerin moves him in the offseason, which he won't, by the way? It would set us back, I think, significantly. I think it'd be a huge loss if the Wild lose Kevin Fiala. Any of them leave, like Boldy, or like they get hurt, or they're out, or they leave permanently. Boldy, Fiala, Goodrow. Well, Goodrow is what he is, but Boldy or Fiala, either one of them leave, the other one's going to kind of hurt, going to feel the pain, and I think that kind of would resonate throughout the team as well. So it'd be a big loss. It wouldn't be the same. It just wouldn't be the same. And but maybe Boldy would continue to emerge. But I think good players need each other. You know, good players need each other. If Kirill Kaprizov was out on an island like Alexander Daigle, well, of the Ottawa Senators way back in 93, 94, 95, blah, 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 it's not the same. You know, imagine if Alexander Daigle came into the NHL with guys like that. He probably would have had a nice career. Probably. He would have had a better career. He wasn't as strong mentally as some of these other guys, but I don't know, some of the other stars in the NHL. But seriously, though. Tom Hahn says, has the Wild organization offered free playoff tickets to the young lady who answered dildo during a recent in-game contest? Not that I know of. Dildo. I just said ditto. I'm stupid. Dildo during a recent in-game contest. Maybe. Maybe just to make fans laugh, I guess. The Tom Hahn says, the NHL format, just plain horseshit or incredible horseshit? Incredible horseshit. Yeah, I mean, well, yeah. Though Bill Guerin will tell you, let's just play. So I guess it is what it is. I mean, we have to play one way or another. So it sucks, but it is what it is. Tom Hahn says, will the Snowflakes faithful pour all the blame on the team's second-round loss on Mukau? I hope not. Mukau, of course, that would be Marcus Foligno. The Moose. I hope not. The team's second-round loss on Mukau. Yep, that team at the time. Yep. So we'll have to wait and see on that one, huh? Since an early season leg injury is the only thing keeping Boldy from the Calder. Yeah. Will hockey fans be surprised when Rossi wins the award next year and Wallstedt wins it the year after? Can you imagine? We'd be the New York Islanders of Calder, right? Four in a row. Could you imagine if that went that way? Kaprizov, Boldy, Rossi, Wallstedt. It's a little on the hopeful side, but it could happen. I mean, it's possible. We might have some spectacular rookies. Though other people might tell you that Rossi's attitude is in the wrong place right now, and that maybe that just could affect his career the way things are going. Maybe he just doesn't have the energy with that whole... I'm hoping and believing that there is no permanent damage to Rossi's heart, like physically, not just mentally, but physically from the whole that whole situation that took place a year ago. So I'm hoping and believing, and it would be cool if we were able to pull a New York Islanders. that early season ankle injury was quite a bummer for Boldy, but it all worked out in the end, outside of getting the Calder, I suppose. Tom says the last 2 months has been a pure slog, schedule-wise. Yeah, but it's been tough for pretty much the entire league. Yeah, I was cramming everything in. Should we expect a little more ragtag play in the playoffs, considering how wore down many teams and players no doubt are? I think so, yeah. I think so. I wouldn't be surprised, honest to God. The energy is definitely going to be higher than it is in the regular season, but possibly in the early rounds it might be a little tough. But I would not be surprised, though. I don't think it helped, no doubt. Tom Hayden says, is it a foregone conclusion that Talbot will get the Kaiser game run against the Notes? If put it this way, if I was in charge, I would have Talbot in game one. I would put Talbot in game one and see what happens. And then, obviously, with the right to change at any time. It's nobody's like net no matter what. It's not Devin Dubnyk nonsense, where it's Devin Dubnyk or bust. And it was quite a lot of busting when Devin Dubnyk was the goalie for the Wild in the playoffs, even though he wasn't always the problem. In fact, oftentimes he wasn't. But later on, he became a bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger problem. I would go with Talbot if it was me. Unfortunately, with this organization, there is no foregone conclusion about anything, unfortunately. Other than we're going to play hard and stuff. And it's all about winning. That's basically what they say at this stage. Tom Hayden says, considering the Minnesota Wild and Notes, that would be the St. Louis Blues, are each going to finish around 8th overall in the league standings, will Minnesota Wild Twitter implode, if the Wild loses round 1, or will it realize it lost to one of the best teams in the league? A little of both. It's going to be a little of both. There's definitely going to be a frustration. I mean, I'm going to be mad. I don't want to lose, damn it. And at the same time, it's not overly surprising. Obviously, we've lost a trillion first-round series. We've had terrible success against St. Louis, but the good news is the playoffs are a different animal, and I think this team is built differently than they were just a couple months ago. So there's a lot of hope going forward. I do think the Wild defeat the St. Louis Blues in the first round. I'm hopeful in that at this stage. Not overly, but I am hopeful. Tom says, gotta move salary to keep Fiala. If keeping Fiala means you lose Dumba, Greenway, and Jost, are we fine with that? If it's up to me, I say yes. That would be quite a lot of guys gone, but I would say yes. Hopefully, out of that group, you can keep Greenway. Greenway, because he's, you know... I'm hoping you can keep Greenway up, because I do have the cap friendly up every time I do the show. It is waiting for me right away. Yep, $3 million a year. Jost, he is... restricted free agent, $2 million. Well, if you keep Jost, you save $1 million versus Greenway. But I think Greenway offers more, obviously, and that kind of the chemistry with the grease or whatever the heck you call it. I call it the grease line. I'm going to keep calling it that. I'm going to stick with that because that's what I heard at the beginning, and I kind of like it, the grease line. It's one of the best lines in the NHL. It is. It's so tough, isn't it? It's tough. Dumba, I'm not going to lose any sleep over losing Dumba to keep Fiala at the end of the day. Jost or Greenway, you probably have to make a decision with one of those two, unfortunately. I've seen more out of Greenway than I've seen of Jost, and though at the same time, Greenway is not anything to go absolutely nuts over, yet at the same time, he does have a presence to his game, and he has had a strong season despite the fact the numbers really haven't been all that spectacular. at the end of the day. I better keep moving. Looking at the clock here. Whoa, Joey. Will Parisi be cheering for the Minnesota Wild when the tournament starts, or will he just yell at the neighbors for playing the music too loud? That sounds like me. I don't like people playing loud music. That actually sounds like me. So, especially at work, I'm the guy that gets up and turns it down when I have the option to do so. He might. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm kind of having a hard time with that one. Clinched KFN girl Jody Halvey says he should be ashamed for being such an exclusive elitist. I didn't think I could dislike a Minnesota athlete more than I dislike Joe Mauer, but he's getting close. Derek Felska says he probably will criticize their cell leads. Yep, celebration. And then KFN says totally. Jody says totally. So I'll lean towards no. He's not going to be cheering for us. Probably not. Tom says, do Minnesota Wild fans realize the playoff run is going to be short and painful if it's a parade to the penalty box? Yeah, I would hope so. I would hope so, because it will be short, very short. Stay out of the box, you dummies, right? Do Minnesota Wild fans realize that the team will win the Cup if they can play the majority of the tournament 5-on-5? Yeah, that would be nice. I wish we could. That would be awesome. Tom says, been watching NHL hockey since I was 5. How is it possible this team cannot find a decent, consistent color person for the TV broadcast. I think Carter's okay. He might not be the best ever. People don't know. I don't know. That is a good question. But it's all kind of debate. But yeah, I mean, generally their TV broadcasts haven't been that spectacular really ever. Goldberg was fun, but he was kind of a bit too. In a way, he was interesting, I guess. Goldberg's obviously was the play-by-play guy, but I'm just saying, yeah. And then the commentators, maybe it should have been Tom Reed all this time, but because Tom Reed's really good. Tom Reed's the best commentator, and he's radio. Tom Hayen says, and oftentimes the radio guys are better because they kind of almost have to be. Like, they're just natural broadcasters, where TV guys, it's just different. It's a different vibe. Radio just always is better. I'm happy to be a radio type anyway. Tom Hayen says, should Minnesota Wild, this is the end of the lightning round, should Minnesota Wild fans be concerned about the obvious frailty of some of the blue liners, considering the tournament is always a battle of attrition? It's concerning. Oh, it's concerning. I mean, a lot of guys keep getting hurt. I mean, I don't even want to say this, but if anything happens to Brodin, we're so dead. And I'm not going to let Brodin stay healthy. He is the ultimate guy. Whenever he gets hurt, it's like we stink. So obviously, he is the MVP of the defensive core. Spurgeon is the overall leader of the team and all that. And I'm praying to God he's going to come back and be all right. And we need him healthy. It's extremely concerning going into the playoffs. Because if they're banged up to a point of, like, we're putting in, like J.V. Benn is going to be a regular on the fourth, top four or something, we're dead. Jay Bushy says, do you think any of the injured players will miss some playoff games? Probably. And I wouldn't be surprised if I keep going back and forth on this, because they were talking like Dumba's going to come back, and then they're saying there's just, when they watched his shot, something ain't right. So Dumba's probably going to miss some at the end of the day. Nice to hear from you, Jay. Always love hearing from Jay Bushy. Yep, don't be afraid to ask a second or third question as much as you can. But hey, the fact that you at least throw in one is definitely nice. It's at least something for sure. No doubt about it. Let's see if there's any more. I think that's it. Oh, I better put in the preview here. I better retweet that for Derek. There you go. Awesome. I think Dumba is going to miss some games, unfortunately. He's the most likely one. It sounds like Spurgeon's going to be ready to go, and we're going to freaking need him, let me tell you. At the end of the day. With that said, now we're heading into the postseason just about. I think the Wild go 1-1, like I was saying. Really looking forward to things. And I got to mention this time, because I didn't mention it last week, and luckily here I am anyway. Spring cleanup season is upon us. It is about to start. It is extremely late. Like, so late, it's ridiculous. We haven't even done one cleanup yet, and it's the end of April. Usually we're, in the past we were starting in the first or second week of April. And then my brother kind of pushed it forward to the third or so. Now, nothing. It's still nothing. So, from here on, the release of the show will be random. It won't be like a scheduled like Thursday. And that tends to happen during the postseason anyway, most of the time. So expect a random thing, like a rainy days and Sundays type of thing. Instead of rainy days and Mondays, rainy days and Sundays, that the show will be released. So I'll be able to keep up. And then like a Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening type of thing, trying to keep up with the show. So it's gonna be interesting. Really looking forward to how this goes into the postseason. I gave a brief prediction of how I think it's gonna be, Calgary and Florida, with Calgary winning it. I hope all of you have a wonderful week. Hopefully Minnesota can get healthy and ready to go. I do pick the Wild to win the series versus St. Louis, regardless if it's home and away, in 7 games. It's gonna take 7 games, but the Wild will defeat the St. Louis Blues, in my humble opinion. Next time we do the show, we will be playing the St. Louis Blues. We'll probably have a few games in. And we'll have some more answers about injured players playing, guys that are healthy enough to play again, hopefully, and hopefully Minnesota is heading in the right direction in the postseason, and guys like Fiala, Kaprizov continue at the pace they're at, because if they do, this team could be a contender. If they stop scoring like they did last year in the playoffs, we're done. It's that simple. So with that said, again, have a wonderful week. Please write a positive rating for Brave the Wild, if you could, on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Audible. There's also a Spotify option. You can put a star rating on there again. So, again, shout-outs, quick shout-outs to Minnesota Wild Global, MN Young Guns, MNW Young Guns on Twitter and Facebook. Really proud to be a part of that as well, even though I haven't been, covering players this year, because I cover the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League and the BCHL, and the Wild don't have any prospects in that system. Sorry for repeating myself every week about that, but in case new listeners don't know about that, I mention it every week. Again, God bless all of you. Thank you again, always, Derek, for putting out the bat signal. Does an unbelievable job. Him and his wife, Teresa Ferries, on Twitter, they post out their articles from the Sports Daily. Crease and assist, at Crease and assist. With that, we will sign off for now, and we will talk to you on a random day in the future. Could be a Sunday, could be a Monday, could be a Wednesday, whatever it is. But we'll keep up with the Wild in the postseason as best possible.